Spain, 1959. It had started out being a marvelous evening, as most evenings with Papa tended to be. He was at his best then, especially if he'd done a good day's work. Mornings with Papa were pure hell. Late afternoons, he hadn't had enough to drink yet to be charming. Late nights were bad, too, because the drink had soaked him until only his tongue remained sharp and lethal. But tonight he'd been in good form, and Slim knew it was because of Betty's presence. "I have to meet him," Betty had begged her, when Slim told her that Papa was in Malaga, too. Betty was there to film a movie. Papa was there to watch the bullfights. Slim was there because she had nowhere else to be. "Christ, I've starred in movies of his, and I've never yet met Hemingway? Slim, we have to see him." So Slim, despite some misgivings, had arranged it. She didn't know how Papa would behave, frankly. She hadn't seen him in more than a year. And the last couple of times, well, they hadn't lived up to the expectations she always carried when it came to him. Slim Hawks Hayward first met Ernest Hemingway back in 1939, when she was just 22, before she was married to Howard Hawks, but when she was unofficially living with him. Papa was in the midst of divorcing his second wife for his third, but was quite alone when she and Howard arrived in Key West, except for his two youngest sons. Slim was charmed, more than charmed, overwhelmed. Back in Hollywood, she was used to men who were larger than life, men who seemed to be lit by an inner glow so that their teeth were whiter, their eyes more luminous than those of mere mortals, men who were so vivid and boldly drawn that they looked at home only on a giant silver screen, men like Clark Gable, Gary Cooper, John Wayne. So Slim was no star-struck Bobby Soxer. But when she saw Ernest Hemingway striding out the front door of his home in Key West, she was struck dumb. He wasn't simply lit from within. He'd harnessed the sun itself, hauled it down from the sky with those enormous hands, swallowed it so that it sat squarely in that barrel chest, molten rays radiating out of every pore. He reared to a halt when he saw her as well. His brown eyes narrowed, and a slow grin spread over his entire face. "Well, well, Howard," he'd said softly, admiringly. "She lives up to the advertising." And from that moment on, theirs was a slow, simmering flirtation. Not of the flesh, at least not on Slim's part. As rugged and as virile as Papa was then, he was 40. There was about his flesh something not quite clean. He always had dirt beneath his bitten-off fingernails. He had a tendency to wear the same clothes for days on end. Being a fastidious person herself, Slim required the same in others. Papa's feelings for Slim, however? Well, that was another story. An entire anthology of them. "Call him, Slim," Betty urged her. "Say we're coming over for dinner." Slim knew that she could. She knew that Papa would always come running to her. It was a fact of her life. A gift, albeit one she didn't take out and unwrap frequently. She knew that Papa was best in short doses. She understood that their flirtation survived only because they didn't see each other very often. She also understood that he would fall immediately for Betty Bacall, because she was exactly his type of woman, which is to say, she was very like Slim, only younger. Tall, slender, tawny, no nonsense. A real broad who could drink like a man. And, of course, she was Hollywood royalty. And no matter how Papa might protest that he hated Hollywood, he was just as starstruck as anyone. But Slim liked to tell herself she wasn't the kind of woman who was jealous of other women. That was what men loved about her, in fact. She liked to believe that she was without envy or vanity, so she grinned and arranged for them all to meet at a restaurant for dinner. And it had started out marvelously. Wine flowed, food was passed around, conversation sparkled. Papa took Betty's hand in his at one point and told her, with that intense light in his eyes that never failed to pin you down like a butterfly specimen, how much he'd admired her behavior during Bogey's final illness. How brave she was, how singularly noble. And Betty, who rarely spoke of it, nodded once and kept hold of Papa's great mitt of a hand for several minutes, as if it were a prize or a trophy, better than any Academy Award. But Slim noticed how down at the far end of the table, where Papa usually banished her, Mary Hemingway's little eyes grew even smaller, boring a hole into those two twined hands, one so elegant and white, the other brown and weathered, just like the pigskin of a football. Betty and Papa didn't notice. They were too busy laughing, their heads bent together.